Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first, it's time for Carl to recreate some more voices from the week's news. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or send an email to waitwait@npr.org. You can also go to our website at waitwait.npr.org, where you can find out about attending our weekly live shows, usually at the Chase Auditorium in Chicago. And you can head to the NPR shop, where you can buy our Wait Wait tchotchkes. Hi, you're on Wait Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Steve Sagonik from Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Hey, how are things in Virginia Beach?
Wonderful.
Wonderful. They sound exciting. What do you do there?
I'm an engineer.
Uh-huh. And what sort of things do you create as an engineer?
Oh, I do telecommunications and network.
Right.
For the Navy.
For the Navy. So this is the complicated stuff.
Some days.
Some days?
Some days better than others.
Do your friends constantly harass you to come over and fix their wireless networks?
Yes.
Yeah.
All the time.
I know. Steve, it's great to have you with us. You're going to play Who's Carl this time. Carl, once again, we'll read three quotes from the week's news. Your job, of course, correctly identify or explain two of them. Ready to play?
Yes.
Here we go. Here's your first quote.
We wouldn't go and play for Hitler, but this is different. This is a little backwater country.
That's a member of the New York Philharmonic Orchestra talking to the Washington Post about making their debut where this week?
North Korea.
Exactly right. Very good. The orchestra's conductor, Lauren Mazel, says the trip to the Stalinist country was a first step toward normal relations, just like the Philharmonic's famous trip to the Soviet Union in 1959. However, there are differences. The Soviet Union was a vast global adversary under the leadership of a shoe-pounding strongman, Nikita Khrushchev. North Korea, on the other hand, is a tiny Stalinist state under the leadership of a half-insane man in platform shoes who imposes the death penalty on anyone who insults his hair. Still, the trip's success has so excited the North Koreans, they have now asked, this is true, for Eric Clapton to come to Pyongyang, which either means the Philharmonic's concert was a big success, or that the North Koreans, like everyone else, ultimately would rather listen to rock and roll. All right, very good. Here's your next quote.
I'm not sure why it's going to take them 3 hours to learn how to press a button.
That's the owner of a coffee shop in Los Angeles. He was ridiculing a certain business which closed all its locations Tuesday to teach employees how to make better coffee, who decided that doing it right, or at least better, was more important than 3 hours worth of sales.
Starbucks.
Yes, very good. You might have seen them on the street Tuesday night, desperate caffeine addicts trying to prevent their withdrawal tremors from making them drop their MacBooks. That's because at 5:30 p.m. Tuesday, every single Starbucks in the United States closed in order to re-educate baristas in the art of making coffee. They'd never tried it before. CEO Howard Schultz ordered this nationwide Espresso 101 to help his employees remember they aren't just underpaid clerks foisting massively overpriced beverages on an addicted public. No, they are latte artisans foisting massively overpriced beverages on addicts. For example, the baristas were retrained in the art of foaming milk. Here is a quote from the lesson plan. This is real. Quote, the perfect milk requires surfing the tip of the steam wand until the sound is shh. All right, very good. Here is your last quote.
Maybe settling the strike in time for this show wasn't such a good idea after all.
That's USA Today's take on one big show last Sunday night that didn't do so well.
The Oscars.
Right. Ooh. Are you bummed because you missed that glittering awards extravaganza known as the Oscars? Don't be. With only 8 days between the end of the writer's strike and the broadcast, host Jon Stewart didn't have a lot of material to work with. Plus, there were all the feel-good nominees about serial killers, corruption, greed, oil, all that fun stuff. They did all of those montages about the past, but Hollywood doesn't really know much about the past. All they know is the past sounds old. The big winner of the night, the rousing musical No Country for Old Men. It held back a late surge by Juno, the tale of a teenager whose out-of-wedlock pregnancy is really just an opportunity to say cute, snappy things in a droll, offhand way. It's sort of a This American Knocked Up. Carl, how did Steve do in our quiz?
Steve was perfect. 3 correct answers, and he is a prize winner.
Well done.
Yay.
Congratulations, Steve. Thank you so much for playing.
It's as if Steve was born into the world knowing current events.